Okay, around the Gemara and Tzadik Beis and Beis, we're in the Mishnah of 11 lines from the bottom, starting in the Mishnah about someone and multiple people taking out an object into Rishus Rabim. Says the Mishnah, Motzi Kikra the Rishus Rabim, someone takes a loaf of bread into the Rishus, from the Rishus Yachid to the Rishus Rabim. On Shabbos, you're going to be Chayav. This is only an introduction statement. This is Pashut, the Rishonim points out. But it's, we call it the second part that we're mentioning. So Tzir Shnaim, if two people took out the loaf together, Pturim, they are both going to be exempt, even though each one could have done it in their own right. Since they did it together, each one is doing half malacha, and you're going to be putter. The Gemara is going to learn this out. Lo yachol echad lehotzio. However, if it was something which two people couldn't have taken up by himself, like for example, very heavy, a brick or something where you need two people to carry it, the otsio shnaim, and two people had then taken out chayavim, then both of them would in fact be liable. For Reb Shimon, Poter, Reb Shimon says they are going to be exempt; they're not going to be putter. So now we see over here that when a person is not able to carry it and two of them do it together, then in that situation you would in fact be chayav. Tosfos just point out, and just to give a getter, Tosfos the next daf and Dibra Maskel Amar Mar, they point out that it doesn't necessarily mean we don't judge each person individually. Oh, is he this strong? This strong? Like if a guy is a bodybuilder, so then we judge if it was two people like that, it would be different. Tosfos point out it's the derech of way that you were carrying it out. If people are carrying it on their fingers, let's say, they could easily just put it over their shoulders, but for whatever reason, maybe something was fragile and you're carrying it in fingers, that's the example Tosfos give. So then even though, since you couldn't carry it in that derech on your own individual situation, then that would still be enough to consider you chayav. Okay, with that we're going to start the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Avidu Amar Rav, V'Amar Le Amar Abaye, so some say it was Abaye said this, some say it was Amar Avidu Rav, V'Amar Le Mastit, some say it was even Tana Braisa. What is this? Zeyachol V'Zeyachol. If you have a situation where someone is able to carry the object itself, and also this one is also able to carry the object himself, like the Mishnah had given us that example of the loaf of bread, Rabbi Meir Mechayev. Rabbi Meir says that a person would in fact be Chayev. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Potrim. Rabbi Meir says that you're Chayev. Rabbi Shimon say that you're a Patzer. So our Mishnah is not following that sheet of Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah is following that of Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to see, because Rabbi Shimon mentioned later in the Mishnah. So our Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda that says you would be Patzer. However, if both of them were unable to carry it, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir both hold them to be Chayav, and the reason Rashi says is because that this is now the derech, that if one person could have done it, and now the only way to do it is with two people, then in fact you would be Chayav. I just saw a beautiful pshat that the Nefesh Chayav brings a raya from here, that this is the concept where people have, you know, everyone does one mesechta, and together the community makes a siyam shas. So he compares it to this Gemara over here, where you have Zayin al-Yachav al-Zayin. We can't finish all of Shas in a month, or whatever it is, that everyone's signing up for this. And since we both can't do it, and then we do it together, we say that creates the Malacha together, that creates the Chiyav. It's a nice Sigil Torah. Obviously, I don't know how much Diok Mamish in the Gemara, but that's a nice Pshat that comes out of here. Either way, so we see over here that they hold their Chayav Lein and Hilchah Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be exempt. Zayin al-Yachav al-Zayin al-Yachav. If both of them were unable to carry it, Divrei HaKol Chayav, everyone would, Zech Yachol V'Zeh Ein Yachol. If one person was able to carry it, and the other one was unable to carry it without his assistance, then Divrei HaKol, everyone is going to be Chayav. Rashi says, we're going to see for the Hemshech of the Gemara, who in fact is Chayav. The Gemara is going to discuss this. Now the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hachi, a Braisa, who taught this also in a Braisa, Motzi Kikra L'Rishus HaRabim. If someone takes a loaf into the Rishus HaRabim, Chayav is going to be Chayav. Otzir Shnaim, if two people took out the loaf together, Amer Mechayav, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Lo Yachol Lahotzio V'Otzio Shnaim, Chayavim. Rabbi Yehuda said it depends. If there was unable to two people to take it, then both of them would be liable. However, if each one could have done it on their own, then they would both be exempt. The Gemara is going to learn out again where we get the source from. Rabbi Shimon, both Rabbi Shimon exempt them in both situations. Both people doing it are going to be putter. Now the Gemara says, Minan Emilek, from where do we know this to be true? The Tanya Rabbanan, from the, we learn in the Braisa, Ba'asosa. The Pasuk says, just called by the Pasuk, we'll read the whole Pasuk. Vim nefesh achas techta b'shkaga me'ama aretz ba'asosa achas v'sa shem elot tasin. This Pasuk is referenced to a korban chatas. And by a korban chatas, it says that that a person ba'asosa is doing it. So from here, the words ba'asosa, it's a compound word of the word ba'asos osa, that a person is doing it, and implies that one person is doing the entire act by himself. He's doing the entire action. So the Gemara now learns, someone has to do the entire action himself and not doing partial action. This actually, if you remember, this actually was the Gemara in the first Mishnah. The Gemara was discussing that, how do I know if someone does the Akira and the other person does the Anacha? The Gemara quoted this very pasuk this drasha from the Breisa to tell you that it was Pater because each one was doing half the Milacha. Now, so then the Gemara says Ketzet. So what is the example of the Gemara? The Gemara says Ketzet. What? How is it? So Shnayim She'Olzin B'Mazleg V'Logzin. If two people are holding a pitchfork and they were gathering the produce Bekarkar V'Shoftin, or if they had a shuttle and they were weaving the threads of a warp, a Kulmos V'Kosvim, or they were holding a pen and they were writing B'Kanev Atzilus Shusarabim, or they had a reed and they took it into Rishus Rabim Yachol Yachayavim. I would have thought maybe that they should be Chayav Talmud Lomar Ba'Asosa. Here the pasuk is telling you that you have to commit it, but Ha'osa Es Kula V'Losa Es Miktasa, that you have to perform the entire Malacha and not just perform partial part of the Malacha. And even though over here each one could have easily done the action himself, Rashi points this out, even so then you are still going to be chai. That's a chiddush over here. Continues the Gemara. Now be'igol shadvel, if however we're discussing a situation, something was heavier, like a round cake of figs ve'otzil rishus rabim, which is very heavy and you needed more than one person to carry it out, and you carried it into rishus rabim, or if you had a beam obviously very heavy also and you took it into rishus rabim, Rabbi Yehuda omer im lo yachal echa le'otzio ve'otzio shnayim chayavim b'inlav term. Rabbi Yehuda says that if we're talking about a situation where one was able to carry it by himself, then, and two people carried it out, then you would, then in that situation, they, sorry, Rabbi Yehuda says, im lo yachol, sorry, im lo yachol echa le'otzio, so if you were not able to take it out, the one person and you needed two, and then they took it out, then there would be chayav. However, if not, if one, each one individually was able to take it out, then you would be pater. Okay, so now the Gemara says, quoting Rabbi Shimon, omer afal pish lo yachol echa le'otzio, Rabbi Shimon says, even though one person could not have taken it out, meaning that you needed both people to take it out, ve'otzio shnayim, and two people took it out, even in that case, pturim. They're going to be exempt. Why? That is what the pasuk of Asosa, the fact that he's doing it, needs to teach you each individual to do it. Even if you couldn't have done it without two people, Rabbi Shimon is mechadish that you are not going to be chayav malacha if two people do malacha, period. Even if I couldn't have done it, the beam was so heavy, I needed two people, I'm still going to be chayav, I'm still going to be patel lefir Rabbi Shimon. That's the hamshech. Again, only his drasha is no matter what, one person who does it is going to be chayav, two people do it, even if it was impossible without those two people, you're still going to be chayav. To which the Gemara asks from Mike Mithlagi, what are the argument over here? What is the source of machlokas? The Gemara says b'hai kla. They're arguing the following pasuk: v'im nefesh echad techta b'shkaga me'ama aretz. If one person is amongst the people of Klal Yisrael are sinning unintentionally. The Gemara says now be'asosa, if he's doing it by himself. So he's doing it by himself. Rabbi Shimon Savart Klasa Mi'utik Sive. Rabbi Shimon assumes that there are three different things, there are three different exclusions in this very pasuk. Nefesh Techta, Achazich Asosa Techta. The pasuk over here could have just, as Rashi points out, we have three words. We have Nefesh, Achaz, Ba'asosa. That implies that individuals doing it is going to be Chaim. Nefesh as opposed to Nafshos, right? Nefesh is a single soul, as opposed to Nafshos, which is multiple. And Achaz is referring to, as opposed to two people. Asosa is also is in the singular, as opposed to Ba'asosam. So therefore, it's all those three different things, are three different exclusions. So Rabbi Shimon therefore learns that we have three different exclusions to learn from over here. What are those three different exclusions? The Gemara now continues. The first one is to include, Rashi points out that each of these are going to be in ascending order, that this is the least chiddush. The least chiddush is if you have two different people doing half a malacha, that each of their half malachas do not combine. That's the least of a chiddush. I would have maybe assumed that way. So therefore, that's the first one. That if one of them is doing that kira and the anacha, where you have to put it, if a person is lifting and the other person is putting it down, that if each one's doing half, that one, they're both going to be pater. So this is less of a chiddush over here. Then the next one is to exclude in the situation where each one was able to do it by himself, and yet they did it together, so then that's more of a chiddush over here, but still, Rabbi Shimon says that you're going to be patur, and the third one is a very big chiddush. Even where both of them could not have done the malacha, and you needed two people, Rabbi Shimon says, we have a mute. The fact that the pasuk comes out of its way to tell you this, the pasuk is implying that there are three different exclusions, and that third exclusion, even then, they could not have done the malacha together, they're going to be patur, both of them going to be patur. Now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, that the first one is excluding like Rabbi Shimon, I agree. That someone is lifting it up and another person is placing it down. The second one, I agree also. That the second one is excluding a situation where each one is able to carry it himself and then nevertheless they carried it together, they're going to be putter. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the third one, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a different injunction entirely. It's about someone who had listened to the base of Sanhedrin HaGadola. Rashi makes an example, this Gemara in Horios talks about this, that if the Sanhedrin HaGadola made a psak, the chelev was mutter, and you are a good guy who just listened to the base and you thought they were wrong, but whatever, you listened to the Beis Din. So that's not called Be'al Sosa, right? That's not Be'al Sosa. You're not doing it. You're listening to Beis Din. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds that is a drasha. So Gemara says, what is Rabbi Shimon going to do with this? Rabbi Shimon, Yachet Shasar Baras Beis Din Chayv. Rabbi Shimon, in fact, holds that someone who had listened to the ruling of the Sanhedrin in that matter would, in fact, be Chayv. That is a Shaila. The Gemara actually told us over there, Machlokas, But either way, that's what Gemara assumes for the Gemara in Horios right now, that this is what Rabbi Shimon held in Horios. Now the Gemara continues, Rabbi Meir, who said that even that two people are always going to be chayiv, even if they could have each individually carried it together. The Gemara says, Miksiv nefesh achas tichle achas besosa tichle. You don't have three Rebbeim according to Rabbi Meir. You only have trei meutziksiv. You only have two different exclusions, right? The Rashi points out the words nefesh achas is only that's the way you speak. That's the way that the psukim write itself all the time. So you can't call that as two different mutim. You can't call that two different exclusions. Only one exclusion. So therefore, he only has two. You have nefesh achas and ba'asosa. So only two different exclusions. So what are you going to get from there? Chad lemiutah ze okev v'zemaniach. The first one is going to exclude a situation where this one puts it up and this one puts it down. V'chad lemiutah yachid shasav ra'es based in. And the second one is going to exclude an individual who committed this act. V'chad lemiutah yachid shasav ra'es based in. And is someone who listens to Sanhedrin. So in Rameir's view, though, that there's going to be no pasuk, no makor to exclude people who jointly carry objects. So therefore, we learn out that people who jointly carry it are both going to be chayiv, even if both of them could have done it together. And just to point out over here, when it comes to hotzio shnayim pturim, there even within some who say pater within the das lechacham in the Mishnah that we quoted, that they would hold the makor chayim holds that they're still going to be chayiv the raisa. This is only a ptur for the korban. There's a lot to argue on that. If someone Zalman thought that was not case in Rashi, but either way, that's a very interesting thing that it would still be an iser deraisa even according to the Mishnah says that you're pater. That's pater from a korban, but yet you still violated an iser deraisa even according to that. Okay, now the Gemara goes back. The Gemara says Amar Amar. We said before that if someone was able to carry it and this one was unable to carry it, everyone would agree that you're going to be chayav. To which the Gemara is Hayminayu chayav. Which one of them is going to be chayav? The Machlokas Rashi Tosfos Lachronim Armedayik and Rashi. Clearly, Rashi says this, but the way they're showing the Machlronim Armedayik and Rashi that Rashi understands it is the shaila is whether the stronger person is going to be chayav or the weaker one is going to be chayav. Meaning the other one would be putter completely. Tosfos say what does it mean? It shouldn't make sense that the stronger one, the shaila is that for sure the stronger one is only the stronger one going to be chayev, or they're going to both be chayev. According to those, it doesn't make any sense to assume that the weaker person should be chayev and the stronger one shouldn't be putter. That doesn't seem reasonable to assume that that's the shaila. Either way, the market is Amar Chista Zesh Yachol, the one who is able to carry, he himself is going to be chayev. The E Zesh Ein Yachol, but we're going to assume that the one who is unable to carry, then you could respond, my kavid, what has he done? Why should he assume that he should be chayev? The Gemara says Amar Le Ravim Nunar. The weaker person is helping the stronger person. And maybe the weaker person is putting, the Rishon explained, what does this mean? The Rabban says that the weaker person is putting all of his strength to help out carry the object. The weaker person, therefore, should be judged, putting more effort, therefore, he should be chayav. And the Gemara responds, Amar Leh, Mesaya in Bamamish. Rav Chista responds that just helping someone, the Messiah, just helping for the malach over here is not considered malach over here, and it's considered that you didn't really do anything and you're not going to be chayav. To which the Gemara says, Amar Zid Mishmet Dechava, so he wants to bring a raya for this. That just misayay and b'mamish. Gemara brings raya for this. Af anam etznu. We learned in the Mishnah in Zavin. Hayoshev agabi amita. Zav was sitting on a bed. V'arba talios is tachas agli mita. And there are four garments under the four bed legs. Tmeos. All of the garments are going to be tamei mitnei sheinei yochel amar dalshos because the bed cannot stand upon three legs. We know that a zav, right? We mentioned a zav many times already. That a zav is someone who has the mission coming out of him. Not the something a weird color, green, yellow, whatever it might be coming out of. He has a tuma. He is an ava tuma. Now usually anything he touches is going to be rishonal tuma. The Torah's mechadish that if he puts his support and weight and things like that on it, it's going to remain an avatuma. That's called midras hazav. So when it comes to midras hazav, playing your weight on it over here, so the shaila is that if the zav was on a bed and then it was under the four bed legs, so we're assuming that since the bed legs cannot sit on three bed legs, all of them are going to be tameh. However, Rabbi Shimon says that is going to be tohar. Why is Rabbi Shimon? Because Rashi says that because this is a case of zesh in achol v'zein yachol, which Rabbi Shimon before had said with Gabi Shabbos you're going to be putter. So too he continues that halacha and extends it to hilachos midras hazav that as well over here Rabbi Shimon would hold that you are going to be tohar. So then the Mishnah continues. We didn't get to the raya. Haya rochev agabe behema v'arba tlis atachas agla behema. If a zav was riding on an animal and he'd have again the four garments under the four of the animal's legs, tehoros. Each all of the garments are going to be tarnished. Yachol la'amod al shalosh because an animal is able to stand on three of its legs. Rashi points out because therefore each one of them is considered like we don't know which one is the fourth one and we don't know. Therefore, it's considered a misaya and therefore stam is like Rabbi Yehuda. And this we'd be calling this Zayachov as Zayachov, and we'd call that Misayah, which is each one is Kilu helping it out, and therefore each one is going to be viewed as insignificant and not going to be Tameh. So the Gemara now wants to bring a Raya now from this last proof of here. The Gemara says about Mai. Why should we assume that each of these garments are going to be Torah? How come Misayah about that? But each one is helping, each one of the animal's legs is helping the other support the animal. La Mishum Domino Misayah Imamamish. That seems to imply that the concept of just helping out each leg helping out each other halachically doesn't have any significance, and therefore they're going to be tahor. So the Gemara wants to attempt to reject. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda Midiskara, Karta, that's where his name, that's where he's from. The Olam Eim Alacham Esayah Yesh Bamamish. I could say to you that helping out is halachically significant. And here is different. The Ikara de Legame, that the animal over here is you're removing its legs entirely. Meaning, if the animal actually raised its legs, those legs wouldn't have provided even a minimal help to the other three. So the person, when it comes to the begadim, comes to the garments over here, they're considered if this is the reason for the garments being tar, then we'd assume that the person does things help minimally is considered significant. So then you could assume here that it would not be significant enough. So Gemara wants to reject. Gemara says, "V'kevin zimnin akra have zimnin akra ha lehave kizav misapech." Though if that's the case, you want to assume that this is going to be that sometimes he lifts this leg and sometimes he lifts that leg, which is why you wanted to make a chiluk. Then you should treat this like a zav who moved around while he was sleeping. What's the halacha about that? Milo Tanan, the Mishnah tells us specifically about a zav who moves around with tikkum. Zav shem mutal al chamisha safsalan. If the zav was lying on five different benches, al chamisha pundas, he was lying on five different money belts, laorkan. If he was lying across the length of them, then tmeim they are going to be tame. Why? Because in each case we're not sure which one the zav. In this situation, we're not sure if the Zav put his weight on all of them. So if you put most of his weight on any one of those benches, since he's lying lengthwise, therefore we could assume that maybe you put a majority on any one of them, and therefore we assume that he's going to be tame. However, l'rachban, if you're lying across them, then tahorim, because no bench and no money belt would have at any point supported the majority of the weight of the Zav, and therefore in such a case, even when the Zav rolls from side to side, no one bench is supporting most of his weight, you're going to say that they're tahor. But the Mishnah Kedizin, which says yashin, however, if the Zav fell asleep, and people move around a lot in their seat, therefore we're not sure, maybe he moved around in his sleep, and then they're all going to be tame, because at some point the Zav may have been lying lengthwise, and therefore you should assume that all you have a majority of his weight, and therefore it's going to become tame. So now in that situation where we're just not sure the most of his weight with the bench of money belt, we're going to still assume that he's going to be tame. So then the same halacha should apply to the case of the talis, the case of the garments, although it's not, we don't know if any one of the talisim was the one that used the most of the animal's weight, still should be treated as a suffix, and therefore it should be tame based on this Mishnah's ruling. The It must be that can't be the reason of the Mishnah. So therefore we are assuming that the only remaining explanation to explain why these are tar is because we're assuming that the halachic principle of just simply helping out, that one of the legs helping out each other halachically, is not going to have any significance. And this is proving Rav Chista. Rav Chista really has a proof in this Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to collect, I think, three or four more rayas for Rav Chista. Gemara says, Amar Rav Papi Mishmei Delave. So Rav Papi said the name of Rava Af Ana Metanina. We also learned in the Mishnah of Rav Yossi Omer Hasus Betan that a horse carrying a zav is going to be tame through its four legs over here. We're assuming that the four legs are going to be tame as opposed to. Over here, the back legs are not, and the hind legs are not going to be tamar. Those are going to be tamar. Those are going to be tahor. And the reason that is because a horse can stand even while the hind leg is on the ground, and the hind leg is incapable of supporting on itself. That it was a little bit difficult for me in Metzius. What way? The back legs are more able to support. I'm not a bit bucky in how horses work, but usually when you see the things, you see the horses roll up their first legs. So apparently, the gears of the Mishnayos are flipped, and the Gra points this out. Lechora, it should be that the back legs are whatever it is. Whatever we say, we're assuming that two of the legs are going to create tuma, and two of them are not going to create. Whatever ones that they use all the time are going to create the tuma, which ones they're not going to use is not going to create the tuma. Hachamar al raglav, however, when it comes to donkey, it's only going to create its tuma through the back legs or the hind legs. Shemisha enes al asus al yadav, because the horse leans primarily on its forelegs. Vechamar al raglav, and a donkey primarily on its hind legs. Again, the order of the Mishnah lechora is the reverse gersa, which the Gra seems to say is the correct gersa. Lechora and metzius, that seems to make sense. I'm not a bucky in how and horses work, for sure not donkeys, but lechora, for what I've seen in pictures of horses when they go up, lechora, that's how they go up. Either way, the Gemara now says, V'amai, so why do we assume that the hind legs of a horse and the four legs, what's the chiluk over here? Hakam esai b'hadai adadai, but each leg is still helping the support, each leg is helping the other legs support itself with the amnal. Amishim dar minam esayin b'mamish l'chora. The only reason is because we're assuming that helping out the process is not halachically significant. Therefore, it seems to reason, like Rav Chista said, that if something is just misayeya, halachically, that is not considered an impediment to say, assume something. So the Gemara now says, the Gemara continues, Amar Avashi, another halach over here, if a Kohen Gadol was doing that vote in the base of Migdash, and he had one foot on the utensil and one foot on the floor, the Rashi points out the Pasuk says Vishiris, and from there we Kachol Achav Levim, and the Gemara learns out from there, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, that we learn out that you're not allowed to have a Chatzitz, you're not allowed to have a a break, something of a barrier between you and the floor of the avod of the Aves Hamikdash of the Harbayas. So you have to be touching the floor. So let's say you're standing on a utensil. Raglu achas halevin, raglu achas rasa. Or if you're standing 1 foot on the stone or 1 foot on the floor, row in. We look at the following. Kol sheilu not yinatal kli v'natal halevin. If the guy took off the stone or the utensil, yachal amar raglu achas, and he's able to stand on 1 foot, meaning that so the ikar foot that he's using is that 1 foot that he's using that was directly on the Aves Hamikdash. Then avodas akshira. Then the kohen is going to be valid. His what he the avoda that he had done. The imlav, however, if he is not able to do that, avoda psula, the avoda would be psula. Now the Gemara wants to analyze this Mishnah. V'amai, why should we assume that the is going to be puzzled to support himself on the one floor? His foot is going to be helping out the other foot in supporting him. So we must see la mishnah davina mesayin b'mamach. We see from here that simply aiding has no halachic significance. The fact that the other foot is helping stand on both feet, we go at the ikar foot, and the ikar foot is standing on the base of on the floor of the base of Migdash, in which case we would assume that is not going to be a problem. The Gemara says amar avina afanametina. Another raya for this. Kibel b'yamin, if a kohen receives the blood using his right hand, a small mesedah, and his left hand is helping his right hand, avoda sakshira, the avoda is considered kasher. So we see from here that Rashi quotes out the pasuk shenemar etzba of kahuna. We learn from there it only be on his right hand. That's the source for that. The Gemara analyzes from my hakam esayler b'adai adai. Why should we assume like that? His left hand is helping his right hand. Do the avoda lamishum darmina mesayim, but mamish. Similarly, we hear from here that helping out halachically has no sweet, has no halachic significance. So we see shemami now. We can prove from here that that's correct. That halachically helping out the left hand helping out the right hand, and the left foot helping out the right foot, or the different legs for the zav. All those cases are not halachically significant. Now the Taz rules are interesting. Taz rules for birkas and that we assume that you should also only holding the cup in his right hand. And I was bothered by this. I was happy to see that Chorim asks Kasha. Also, based on this Gemara over here, we assume that because he assumes that Misayah Yamba Mamish doesn't apply to other halachas. So the Chorim asks Kasha over here clearly, and he just assumes it's only by Hilchos Shabbos. That's not clear over here. The Gemara is talking about a case of avoda of the dam, and the dam over here has nothing to do with the Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos, we're talking about the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. So lechora, this should be the exact example of the dam is to use your left hand to help hold the cup. The kosher bracha for branching should be the same exact halacha. So lechora, that should be the case. I'm not sure how he passed the vayser. Even though we have a kasha against him, but that was a very interesting thing. Also, machlokas the shach and the taz about is a woman allowed to have a goy stick out her nails at a goy if she needed to cut her nails? She forgot to cut her nails before yontem, before Shabbos. Could she have the goy cut her nails and stick out her hands for her? Is that considered misayeh, helping her out? In which case, it would be not a problem or not? So there's another gemara in Makos, like in that gemara over there. But the shach wants to bring a raya from this gemara over here that clearly misayeh and Ramah should apply lachora to this halacha as well. For sure, it's halacha Shabbos. The taz is a raya from gemara Makos. I discuss his raya, but lachora the shach, one of his main rayas is from our Gemara, the Mesayim B'mamish, if you just put out your hands and they're doing a malacha for you, that would not be halachically problematic. Now Gemara goes back and says, another Amar Mar, Zayachov, we quoted before, that if this person was able to hold it, and this person also was able to hold it, Rabbi Meir Mechayev, Rabbi Meir says a person is going to be chayev, to which Gemara asked you, by the way. So they had the question, they asked, what the shayla within Rabbi Meir, Be'inan shir lazeh v'shir lazeh, do we require that each one has a full shir? Meaning, Rashi points out, like let's say it was Otsah, do you need to assume that they had two krogarises, meaning that they carried the worth, each one was carrying together, they hold something that had the shear of two figs, or maybe if they hold one fig, that would be enough. Now, the Gemara says, Rav Chista v'Rav Himnuna, there's a Machlokas Rav Chista v'Rehuna about this, and we don't know who said what, but this was the following sheet. The first one held that you need a full shear, meaning that you need two grogaris for each one, for them carrying it together. You need to hold, let's say, a cake together of two grogaris of two figs. No, they hold as long as you have one grogaris, one, for the example of Hotzah, then you are going to be chayav, because even if one shear together. So now the Gemara quotes a lot of rites to support the latter view that we're assuming that you're shear achad lekula. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa Mishmei Dechova. Now, when I'm doing a Rehi Raya from the Mishnah, Yoshev Agabi Amitav, the Zav was sitting on a bed, Varba Talis, the Tachas Arbin Wilhelm. We saw this Mishnah, right? That if you had four garments under each of the four bed legs, Tmeos, all of the garments are going to be Tabne, Shein, and Yachal Al Marashosh, because the bed cannot stand on just three legs. Now the Gemara brings the proof. Amai, why should we assume that all of the garments are going to come tame? Only one of them that is supporting it should become tame. Why don't we assume that the zav's weight for this garment and the zav's weight for that garment and the weight are going to assume to become tame? Since the adam can tame only a midras if it supports most of the weight of the zav, so shouldn't we assume that you need to have at least a share of supporting the whole zav from the entire thing? So therefore, we can assume la mishum darminan shir achad lekulam. It seems like we assume here that it's going to be one measure for all of them, and you do not if one zav is going to render tame, Tame, each of the four different, even each of the four different garments, and from the fact that we see that, we would assume that even if you just have one share between all of them, that'd be enough. Now the Gemara brings a separate verse. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, af anam etzinu. We also learn from the Mishnah. Tzvi anichnas labayis. If a deer came into a house, v'nal achar b'fanav. So we're dealing with tzad. We're dealing with trapping on Shabbos, and someone closed the door in front of the deer. Chayev, you're going to be chayev. Malacha we mentioned before of tzad of trapping. Na alushnaim. If two people close the door together, then Turim, they're going to be putter, because that's Shnaim Sasu, that's the case that we were saying before, they're going to be putter. However, if the door is too heavy for one person to close it on his own, Vilanah Shlaim, and two people closed it, they're going to be chayavin. They're going to be chayav. The Gemara says, V'amai, Leba Asher, the Siddha, the Zeh, the Siddha, the Zeh, shouldn't you require two deer then? If you're going to require, the Mishnah only tells you about one deer. So if you, the fact that the Mishnah only mentions one deer, so you only have Ki'ilu, half a deer for this one, half a deer for that one, so yet they're still going to be chayav, therefore we assume, Lavishun Raminan, Sharech Alakulam, is right from here, that we say that one measure for both of them is going to be enough, one deer is going to be enough for this situation. And the Gemara continues, Ravina, Af ani no metina, and so too we learn the Braisa, Hashut v'n shegan v'tavlu chayav, and if people who are partners together, they steal a sheep or ox and they shecht it together, are going to be chayav to pay the four or five times. The four is always get confused. We have the for the set and the shor. The shor is going to be, I think, is chamisha, and the set is four. I think that's the case. So you're going to be chayav to pay the penalty together. The Gemara asks, "Amayli baishul tzvichal zev v'shir tzvichal zev." You again should require two different animals. You should require two different animals. La mishu derminan shir echad lekulam. Isn't that because we assume that we're going to assume that there's going to be one share for all of them? So therefore, we assume over here that that's not the case. The fact that you for one animal, they're going to be chayav, that is enough. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Avashi, another raya from here. If two people carry out the weaver's reed, they're going to be chayav for the malacha of transferring. The Gemara asks them about Mai. Why are they both going to be chayav? This instrument is the chora only enough to weave one cloth. Should require the amount for two cloths. We don't see that. We only see they're taking out the requirement of one cloth. The Gemara says, "Lami shundar minan shir la'achad lekulam." Is it not to assume that we are saying over here just because you have one measure enough for all of them? So the Gemara says, "Amar le'ravacha be'deravar le'ravashi." This is not necessarily a raya. This last one over here, that when the reed or the weaver, maybe there actually is a shear for two of them. Dilma at the isbe kedilavashal beitzakala lezer beitzakala lezer. We know that the reed maybe here is enough, which is that the shear over here for the reed taking it out is enough to cook an egg in this one and a beitzakala lezer an egg in that one. Maybe over here there actually is a shear of two of them. There's no necessarily raya from this one. The Gemara says, "In kain l'shemina kana de alma." If so, over here, the Tana should have told us that we were talking about an ordinary. Why did the Tana tell us over here we're talking about a weaver's reed? Apparently, the Vedek are saying the weaver's reed over here, there actually is enough for only one shear, not enough for two shears. The Gemara rejects this also. The Gemara says, "Dilma de ispe gedel arug ma'apa lezeh, v'gedel arug ma'apa lezeh." Maybe we're discussing over here that we're talking about a case of the weaver reed, which has enough to weave a type of cloth for this person and a cover for this person, a cover for that one. Maybe there actually is a shear of two weaver reeds over here. From this price, there is no proof. Okay, so that's what we see from here. The Gemara says now Tana Tzinnig Wendy Rav Nachman, a Tana who taught Bryce in front of Nachman said the following Bryce, Shnaim Shotia Kana Shal Gardi Pturin Rabbi Shimon Mechayev. If two people are carrying out a weaver's eid are going to be putter from a korban, that's the sheet of the Tana Chamina, whereas Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be chayev. That's the exact opposite as we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon was always saying putter, and the Tana Chamina was always saying chayev in all these examples of Shnaim Shasua. To which, therefore, Rabbi Nachman rejects. The Gemara says, Klapaya. Rabbi Nachman said, which way are you facing? Literally, towards where? Towards where? Literally, towards where are you facing? Literally, you have a steer and two different Messiah. This can't be the way that you said it. Over the Gemara says, "Ela ima chayav in Rabbi Shimon poter." You have to say the Tanakama holds you're going to be chayav, as we said before, Shnaim Shasua, where each individual could have done it. You're going to be chayav according to the Tanakama, and Rabbi Shimon holds that you are poter. We'll quickly start the Mishnah. We'll pick up the Gemara tomorrow. Haymotzi ochli pavos mikshir beklid. If someone takes out less than a shear, meaning less than a gregaris, let's say less than a fig, and they were in a container, patra afa kli, that you're going to be exempt on a kli as well, because the container is considered batel. The shahit shahakli tfilo, because the container is secondary to the food. In fact, that's secondary to the food. It's not there also, even if you have the shear on the kli itself together with the food. As a chayv amita, first thing, a live person on a bed, patra afa lamita, you're going to be exempt also for taking out the bed itself. Shamita tfilo, because the bed is secondary to the person. Why are you chayv on the person? The Gemara Rashi quotes, the Gemara is going to discuss this, the concept of chayv no sense. Not to the right, so only midar ban, and there's a problem with taking it out. As a meitz b'mita, if a person is carrying a dead body on a bed, chayav is chayav for taking out. If you're talking about a dead body over here, because we don't have the concept of chayav says amo anywhere, then you're going to be chayav midar reis that we're carrying. V'chein kazayis min ameis. And similarly, a person takes out a size of an olive of a dead body, or kazayis min avela, or an animal, dead animal that's going to be v'dame v'chadash min asheret, and also a dasha. The size of a lentil for a shear of a sheretz, which is also metame chayav. Reb Shimon Poter, he's going to be chayav according to the kama because malacha shein etzvicha leguf according to the kama is going to be chayav. A labor not necessarily needed for the fine purpose. We'll get much more into that tomorrow. This is the ikar source according to the Tosfos of where this whole machloket has come up. And Reb Shimon Poter, because he holds malacha shein etzvicha leguf on Shabbos, is poter midareis and only chayav midarabanan. We'll discuss in Mirzah Hashem much more about malacha shein etzvicha leguf tomorrow. I'll pick up from the Gemara Mirzah Hashem tomorrow.